coming up next, Minding Your Business, with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
There's a problem that everyone has and no one's been able to solve, at least not without the help of some pretty savvy experts. It pervades our existence and attacks our lives on a daily basis. It holds us back from accomplishing everyday tasks and from meeting our long-term goals. I'm talking about clutter, disorganization, not being able to find the information you need when you need it. I've got filing cabinets, shelves, notebooks, apps, but my desk is still covered with paper, and it's starting to drift into piles on the floor. Who am I kidding? It's already taking over my whole office. If you're like me, you're losing the ability to get control over your own time.
Just once, I'd like to wake up with more time on my hand than hours in the day.
How old are you?
28.
I'm 105. But the day comes when you've had enough. If you had as much time as I have, what would you do with it?
Sure as hell wouldn't waste it.
Come on, help yourselves.
Take the time, it's free.
You put enough time in the wrong hands, you upset the whole system.
Let's hope so.
If this works, we gotta get more.
I can help you get all the time you want.
You know we're coming to get you.
Wasn't taking time. He was giving it away.
On today's show, we've got a time crime fighter. Stay tuned to hear what she has to say about making the most of all the time you've got, at least when it comes to organizing your desk, your business, and perhaps even your life. Minding Your Business is about delivering the tools and information you need to start, run, and grow your small business. It's reality radio for entrepreneurs. If you've got questions about how you can better organize your life, call 866-712-1300 anytime during the program or give us a shout at facebook.com/mybmedia. My guest today is Elizabeth Bowman, an organizing and productivity expert and the president of Innovatively Organized, which she founded in 2007. The company provides workflow assessments, process improvement, productivity tools, and apps with the goal of helping people simply find more time in their day. Originally from the Washington, D.C. area, Elizabeth has a degree in industrial and systems engineering from Virginia Tech. She's experienced in defense contracting, transportation engineering, and IT consulting. While working for the international firm Accenture, Elizabeth worked on corporate presentations as well as software systems for government agencies like Homeland Security and the TSA. I don't know about you, but every day is a challenge when it comes to organizing my life, my business, and my office. I'm so glad we're here with Elizabeth, who is going to tell us how to make that a reality. Welcome to Minding Your Business.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, Robin.
How does the mind of an organizer compare to the rest of us?
You know, I don't necessarily know exactly how everybody else's mind works because mine's definitely an organized one. But the mind of an organizer is always thinking two steps ahead, if not 10 steps ahead. So one of the things that we're always doing is we're always thinking about, if we set this item down right here, well, what is that gonna affect later? So we always wanna think ahead about how things are affecting our time, where things should go. I think organizers or people that have that in their mind already have the type of personality where they just don't want to waste time. Time is really, really valuable. They also don't want to show up anyplace unprepared. And so we're always thinking about what can we pack with us, take with us just in case, right? So even in my briefcase or my handbag, I always have extra things. And that's just the way I think.
It's funny you say that because sometimes when I get into an elevator, I immediately go into survival mode and I think, what would happen if the elevator stopped? Like, what do I have in my bag that I could use for survival?
Yep.
So I always have snacks and water, and I don't know. Do you ever think like that?
I don't ever think for the disaster, but I definitely think about where am I going? What are the types of things I might need? Like, I just went to a baby shower last weekend for a friend, for example, and I always am prepared for anything that they might need for setting up the party or setting up, you know, all the games or things like that.
You're such a nice guest.
Well, you know, I try.
So what makes you so good at organizing? Is it a natural thing that just comes to you, or have you been trained?
So I've been both. I definitely think it's natural, which is why I started the company. But then in order to have a company be successful, I think we all need training. For me, I can tell a little funny story, and that is even as a kid, my mom loves telling people how as a kid, I would not go to sleep at night until my room was clean. So I was just kind of always been that way where I love having everything in its place. Even stuffed animals as a kid always sat in the same order. I had them from tallest to shortest on a shelf. And so it's just something just in me that I love having things very orderly.
What was your favorite toy as a kid?
So this will show you that I'm maybe not the coolest kid in the world, but I had a little robot with buttons on it that would talk to you if you gave it certain commands. And so that was just my favorite thing as a kid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was like arts and crafts supplies.
Right.
I mean, that tells you what's in, you know, I'm not a designer, but I would get up in the morning before my parents got up and I would make little presents for them, but there was nothing in them.
Yeah.
I just like creating these little packages to give, you know. So yep. I kind of wonder how much we bring with us as we go into adulthood and what we leave behind. But it seems like it's always in us in some way.
I definitely think with organizing, it's always in us. But having a company, I think training is really, really key. And what's also been interesting, as I've grown the company over the past 5 years and hired employees, nobody has organizing as something on their resume. I mean, you're not getting a degree in organizing. It isn't out there.
So when you got to hire somebody, what do you look for then?
So what I'm looking for is more during the interview, how they answer certain questions. I want to know before I hire somebody, how do they manage their to-do list? How do they look at their calendar? How are they presenting themselves in the interview? Did they show up, you know, shuffling papers, or are they fully prepared?
Did they bring a pen?
Exactly. Did they bring a pen or not? Are they prepared to take notes? But I also look at what industry they came from. So one of our employees used to be a CPA. One has a business degree and worked with data and a lot of digital clutter. And then one was an interior designer. So she brings a little bit more of the creative side that I don't have to work with our clients.
So why would somebody get out of a profession that probably pays pretty well? And not that organizing doesn't, but why would they make that shift from being a CPA to an organizer? What goes through their minds when they think about that?
Well, I know my one employee, for example, for her, I think she just wanted something that she could be slightly more creative while also using the analytical side. And what we do with organizing is we're pretty much problem solving. We're going into somebody's space or looking at their calendar, their email inbox, and we're seeing an issue that they might have. And we're trying to figure out, how can we make this better, more streamlined? We do a lot of process improvement and diagramming with our clients.
My guest today is Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized. I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. If you have any questions for my guest, give us a call at 866-712-1300. I was checking on the directory of organizers at napo.net, I think it is, and there seem to be very few men listed. I'm kind of wondering why you think that might be true.
Right. So NAPO stands for the National Association of Professional Organizers. And we do have a local Seattle chapter, which I'm the president of right now. So you can go to seattlenapo.com and take a look at any of the organizers.
So you're like the Uber organizer of organizers.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but, you know, it's kind of fun to know all the other organizers in the area. So we have 35 members right now, and one of them is a male.
That's it?
One.
Oh, it's even less than I thought.
Exactly.
So what's up with that?
Well, at least in Seattle, that's what it is. We pretty much welcome anybody if they want to be a member.
Do you think there are a lot of male organizers?
I don't. And I'll tell you, even when I interview and hire, I never intended to have an all-female company, but everybody that I've hired is all-female because that is who applies. And so I think it's just a skill set that women gravitate towards. Men, when they're organized, they like to call it business management or consulting, or, you know, they are very organized, but they are using different terms, I think.
So you think they feel it's a woman's place to be the organizer?
I'm not sure if it's the woman's place, but I they're just not applying. Let's put it that way.
I found that it's kind of interesting how that happens. But I mean, in my lifetime, I've known a lot of men that are very good at organizing their spaces, like to a fault almost.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that they lack the skills, certainly.
I don't think they lack the skills, and I don't think women necessarily all have the skills, because our clients are both men and women. So it just depends on a personality, right? And it's not really a male or female type thing. It's your personality. Most more creative types tend to be a little bit more disorganized because it's not their priority to be super organized.
But look at graphic designers. I mean, their goal is to lay out things very cleanly on paper. And I've been to several graphic designers' offices, and it is so beautifully organized. So that flies in the face of thinking that more. So maybe it's a type of creativity.
Right. Yeah. And I would say the more hands-on artistic, at least with our clients and our experience, tend to just value that. And they don't necessarily want everything in a box in its place. Whereas graphic designers, it's a lot more digital. And so they're probably using both sides of their brain, right? So they have to use the analytical side to keep it organized so they can find what they're looking for digitally on the computer.
It wasn't always digital, though.
Right.
Back in the day, I mean, you really used markers and paper and the whole thing, but I still felt that they had it. They have like a little bit of that left brain, right brain thing where it's half and half, you know. That's pretty cool. So someone who isn't organized, is it possible for them to develop an organized mindset?
Definitely. We truly believe that at our company, Innovatively Organized. We truly believe that you're not inherently born organized. It's a learned skill. You know, I was organized as a kid, but it's probably because my parents are super organized. I don't necessarily think everybody is just born that way and it's something either you have or you don't. It is something you can learn. So one of the things we try to do with our clients is we try to transfer skills to them to make sure that we're not just going into their space and organizing for them, but we're also teaching them techniques so that they can actually keep it up and keep it organized long term. So it is something that you can learn. You just have to have the right teacher, and that's what we're there for.
And I'm sure you're very good at it, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. I'm here with Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized, and you're listening to Minding Your Business, the show created for small business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. Do you have any questions for my guest? Facebook or tweet us at MYB Media or call 866-712-1300. My guest is Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized, and we're talking about being an organizer and the mind of an organizer, and is it possible to teach someone how to organize? As a matter of fact, we have a caller. Joe is calling in.
Hi, Elizabeth. Hey, my question is around email. And I consider myself decently organized, and I've done all the things that I think I should do. I've got rules that direct certain emails that aren't quite as important. I've got my folders lined up alphabetically, of course. But I get a lot. And the thing that I continually struggle with, A, is volume. B, is that it's difficult to sort priority when you get, 100, 200 emails a day. What kind of advice do you have around email, especially considering it's an opportunity for anybody with a thought to deliver it to you?
Well, Joe, thank you for your question. I appreciate it. Email and organizing the digital clutter is something that we focus on a lot at Innovatively Organized. You know, we teach lots of seminars on it, and we webinars, and we sit one-on-one with different clients to really focus on the way they're processing email. The biggest thing I can tell you, and the biggest thing that we usually focus on first, is what I call the two-minute rule. So anytime you're receiving an email, if you can respond to it in 2 minutes or less, we want you to respond to it right away. So that way you never have to worry about where do I file it or what do I do with it. The next thing that we do is if an email is going to take you longer than 2 minutes to handle, that's when we start prioritizing. If it's still going to be something that's going to be action related, we want you to prioritize it. And you could set up a few folders to do that. So we usually set up some active folders. And the first one would be things that you're not able to tackle right the second while you're reading the email, but you have to do it by the end of the day. So we'll set up a folder called by EOD or end of day. Then we'll set up another folder for things that you just have to tackle by the end of the week. So we try to prioritize the things that you need to tackle, need to work on by those priorities. And then other folders are just going to be for reference. So then you could set up folders that are for things that you're finished with, like marketing type items or financial items that came into your inbox, but you're done with them. You don't have any action associated. You can folder those by reference categories. So that way you can find them easily and quickly when you need them. You're still super organized, but you don't have them clogging your inbox. You know, one of the big things that we talk about is we want you to have an empty inbox at the end of every day. And it is possible if you're constantly using the 2 minute rule and sorting into your priority folders. That's a great question.
So Elizabeth, do you have any webinars coming up that you go more in depth on this?
We definitely have some webinars coming up. We actually have our next one is coming up next week. And it's going to be on organizing small spaces. Our next email management one is going to be in August. And we're going to talk all about how to organize your email, how to use Outlook, how to use Gmail, all the pros and cons, setting up your folders. And then we definitely talk about using your email on the go. Most of us are mobile workers now. And so we want to make sure that it's syncing with mobile devices as well.
Joe, thanks for your call. And if any of our listeners want more information about upcoming webinars, you can go to innovativelyorganized.com and you'll see all kinds of classes that you can take both online and I think there might be some live things coming up as well.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
No worries.
Elizabeth, what in your background prepared you for the kind of job you're doing right now?
My degree in industrial engineering really prepared me, as strange as that sounds, but engineering is all about problem solving, and industrial engineering specifically is all about getting rid of bottlenecks and streamlining. So a lot of people with that degree go into manufacturing facilities, or they work with logistics, or they work on different process improvement areas where they're trying to figure out a bottleneck in a process, and they want to figure out how to resolve it and get rid of it. So I did that for a few years with a big corporation, and then decided, you know what? All of us individually have bottlenecks in our day. So it could be that you have bottlenecks just in how you're doing your laundry. And so we can fix that, or how you're making your coffee in the morning or getting the kids out the door. Or it could be with your business. How are you processing paper? You know, when we typically look at different businesses, we're watching how does paper come in through the front door? What happens to it? How is it getting from person to person to person? And we are really trying to streamline, get rid of bottlenecks, look at the flow of information, the flow of stuff, and then we're also organizing your space to support how it should be to function correctly.
So that's part of the mindset of an organizer.
Yeah.
Thinking about it in terms of not what are my obstacles, but how do I remove those obstacles? So what other points? I think there's something on your website that you talk about. What is it? Decision roadblocks, or there's a word that you put around that.
Yeah. One of the things that we like to say is that anytime we see piles or clutter, it's pretty much indicating that you're delaying your decisions.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Delayed decision
pile.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
when we see piles on people's desks of paper, we go, great, that's your delayed decisions pile. Now let's actually go through it and figure out where that stuff should go. Anytime you're just setting something down, it's either because it doesn't have a home where it lives and we need to define it, or you don't want to make the decision about where it should go and what to do with it.
Why do you think that is? Why do we feel, why do we not make that decision when we need to make it?
Most of our clients, it's because they're too busy. They've they have too many things going on. So when they come back in a workplace, for example, if they're going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting all day long, well, they don't have time in between to make a ton of decisions about all the paper they're carrying around, where to put it, what to do with it. And then they're not taking an extra 10 minutes at the end of the day to get their desk or their office back to a steady state. So that way, the next morning, they're prepared for the day.
So is that something you recommend, that you take that 10 minutes at the end of the day to
wrap up?
And what is, when you consider
for the
a
next
wrap
morning.
Up, like, are there a couple of steps or things you want to think about in the wrap up?
Typically with the wrap up at the end of the day, we want you to go through anything you've captured that belongs on a to-do list. We want you to put some time estimates next to all those items on a to-do list. Take a look at your calendar for the next morning and match up what items from your to-do list will fit into your calendar for the following day. And we want you to end the day with a clean desk, because everything has a home, knows where it needs to go. Even if it still is an action associated with it, it doesn't belong in an inbox where it doesn't really have an order to it, but you need to have an action location for all those things that you still need to work on. And if you set up your afternoons, you take an extra 10 to 15 minutes to prepare, organize things, you will walk in with less stress in the morning. You'll wake up without being stressed out. You'll go to sleep at night without your to-do list running through your head. And so you'll actually sleep better, wake up better. Everything just goes a little bit smoother if you take that 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the day.
One thing that I do so I actually can sleep at night is I keep pencil and paper by my bed, because if I do not write down my ideas, they just go over and over and over in my head. So do you think that's a good idea?
I completely 100% support that idea. And Robin, I don't necessarily come up with lots of ideas right before I go to sleep. I come up with lots of things for my to-do list right before I go to sleep.
Well, I have that too.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I typically love to suggest you're always have a sheet of paper or a mobile device that you can quickly type things in. So that way, anytime you think of something, you have a system to capture it. You know, we talk about lots of to-do list apps or lots of virtual notebooks.
So which ones do you like?
For to-do lists, we love ToodleDoo as one that will work. You can go to ToodleDoo.com, sign up for a free account, but it'll sync with just about any mobile device. And that way, you can always have it with you. It doesn't matter if it's a smartphone or a tablet or your computer. You'll always have access to your list, and you can delegate things to other people. For virtual notebooks, we have two that we love. One is OneNote, which is a Microsoft product, and then the other one's Evernote. Both of them are available on mobile devices. They're available online. They're free and low cost.
Evernote is a web app, actually.
Yes.
So it's device agnostic,
yep,
so to speak, and it is free. There are other ones, and
we
will list them on the website, too. And there are tools listed on your website, I noticed, too, as well. We're here speaking with Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized, and her website is innovativelyorganized.com. And you're listening to Minding Your Business, the show created for small business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block, your host. If you have questions for my guest, call 866-712-1300. We would love for you to Facebook or tweet us at MYB Media with your questions, comments, suggestions, even after the show. I'm sure Elizabeth would be happy to answer some of your questions that come through Facebook. We all have our issues with dealing with email. We answered some of that before. We're going to have a lot more about tips for organizing your desk, your life, your business. You know, if you don't keep that organized, if you're a time waster, you're never going to be able to grow your business. And that's what we're all about here on Minding Your Business on 1300 KKOL. We'll be right back. Our show today is about getting organized, and we're speaking with organizational expert Elizabeth Bowman. We were talking about apps you could use to stay organized, like OneNote and Evernote, all those note things. What else is on your organizational tool belt?
For apps specifically? You know, we have a whole list of kitchen apps that we love to help you with grocery shopping or keeping track of things.
Well, we have a business audience, so I'm thinking more in terms of the office organization, like managing employees or keeping to-do lists and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's one of the things that we love suggesting is anything that related to a to-do list, you need to have electronic if you are somebody that doesn't want to use paper. There's one called To-Do, the number two and then D-O. That's a great app that'll actually sync with Toodledoo. There's another one called Task Angel that we love.
I use something called Wunderlist.
Yeah, we know Wunderlist.
Which is also a free app, and it has kind of a nice interface. You can make it look like wood and some cool things.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the, well, one question I have is, how do you know when to use a digital to-do list versus a paper to-do list?
Really quickly, I just want to talk about timers, too. When you're using to-do lists, you need to have a timer. So Timer is a great one you can use right on a mobile device or over the internet. It's a great app. But the other thing, like to answer your question, that we always keep in mind is our client's personality. So typically, we want to take a look at how they're managing their to-do list right now, whether right now it's paper or whether right now it is electronic. And then we try to make an assessment of which one we're going to suggest they use. We've had some clients that are currently using electronic. It's not working. Their personality and the way their job functions so quickly, it doesn't make sense for them to use electronic, and we'll take them back to paper. So a Circa planner is something that we love to suggest if we're going to take somebody to paper, and you can purchase that at levenger.com, but we have links on our website as well. But a lot of times the benefits of moving to electronic is that if you are in an industry that's moving really, really quickly and you have an assistant, you have other team members, the electronic allows you to collaborate. And it gives you the ability to share information amongst multiple people in your team. It enables you to have access to it multiple locations. So if you are using paper, you might leave it behind. With electronic, you're not going to leave it behind. So we really love suggesting all the electronic and digital tools.
And if you travel a lot too, I think electronic makes sense. Oh, we have a caller, Mindy from Long Island on the air. Hi, Mindy.
Hey, Robin.
Hi.
I didn't get your guest name. What's her name?
Elizabeth Bowman from Innovatively Organized.
Hi. My problem is that if I make a list, I just end up throwing it out because a lot of time I just want to be creative and I just am spontaneous in some sense, but then I wrestle with trying to be more organized all the time. So how do you leave room for moments of just, how do you put the to-do list aside or how do you not feel strapped by it?
You know, we want to use a to-do list as a support for you, not as something that causes you to be a robot. You know, most of our clients are not making a to-do list and then just sitting there checking things off all day long. But we want it to support you so that you can be more creative because certain things are captured. So a lot of times what we would ask are things we would want to find out for you. Are you more visual? Does that to-do list need to be in a place, maybe on a whiteboard, that you can always see it?
Yes, more visual.
Right. Yeah. And then we would also talk about possibly color coding things, making it more tactile for you so that way it works with you and for you. So that way, as you're thinking about things, you can capture them easily, write them down, and then come back to it when you have time. But we don't want you to feel strapped and confined by it. We want you to have certain times of the week that you're focused on getting things done. Other times of the week, you can be fully creative and not have to worry about it.
Thanks for
One other question, if you don't mind. Are there non-linear to-do lists, like you were saying, that whiteboarding or something? What could I use?
Yeah, so whiteboarding is great. I would also look into virtual notebooks. OneNote is going to be a great virtual notebook that you can actually coordinate with a to-do list, add some stuff in there. And what's really cool is you can color code it, you can move stuff around, and you're not confined. You can attach all kinds of images even inside that to-do list as well. And so we want to make sure that you're not confined into something linear. So I was talking about Toodledoo earlier as a to-do list. Might not work for you, because that's going to be much more linear. You need something that's more dynamic for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Mindy.
Bye.
My guest today is Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized, and she's answering your questions on the air about how to stay organized in your business. If you have any questions, give us a call at 866-712-1300, or you can tweet us at MYB Media. You were mentioning, Elizabeth, about tools that are more physical, not just in the digital realm. What are some of your favorite organizing products?
For a business in an office, particularly for a lot of mobile workers, there's something that's called a mobile car desk that you can put into the passenger seat. We work with lots of sales professionals that are constantly on the go, and that way they always have all their files, their information right there in their car, because we've seen way too many cars and trunks of cars full of clutter because people aren't working from an office anymore. We also look at people's bags or briefcases or totes, because if you're working from coffee shops in between client appointments, we want you to have everything you need. So we're going to take a look at that. And sometimes we even suggest, hey, you need a tablet. And here's the apps that you need to be productive. So we work with people, you know, our starter package, which we call a productivity starter package, is where we're going to do an assessment of what you have right now, give you some suggestions of how to tweak it, and then you can run with that. But a lot of our favorite tools also are, like I mentioned, the Circa notebooks are great. They come in all sizes. One of them even just holds index cards. So it's not big, it's not large, but it's able to be very portable and very dynamic. So we love that. And then we also love suggesting that people have on their desk, and they've organized that well, but they have bulletin boards, they have whiteboards, and you have all the things you need to keep track of all your pens, your pencils, you know, paper clips. We want you to have everything you need within reach if you're always at a desk, because you don't want to have to get up, walk down the hall in order to be organized. You don't have to constantly have to go to the supply room. You want to make sure you have what you need at your desk.
I noticed some of the pictures on your website show some great before and afters, even in terms of drawer organizers and things like that. And also in your bio, you said that one of your favorite organizational tools is a scanner, so you can become more paperless. Is there such a thing as being completely paperless?
No.
It's impossible. You can't achieve organizational nirvana.
Not yet, anyway. We have not come across a single person who absolutely has zero paper, but we can get you about 80 to 90% there, and we do that all the time. A lot of it comes down to the way you think. For example, we have a lot of clients, they just think better if they can put their pen to paper, and that's how they're going to brainstorm, or they need a whiteboard to write things down. But then that paper can get scanned in. Just because you took notes on paper doesn't mean it has to stay in paper form. We can also help convert, you know, bookkeeping or accounting systems to being paperless as well. But if you're doing that, you need to kind of pay attention to what day you want it to go paperless. If you're going to go through a backlog of files, usually what we suggest is picking a point in time and saying maybe, you know, January 1st, you're going to start going fully paperless with this system or with your financial files or with your marketing files, and everything prior to that is going to be in paper. It's not necessarily always worth your time to go through lots of backlog. If you have, you know, 5 years worth of paper documents and they're organized, it's not worth it to necessarily scan those in now if you don't need them long term. But you could go paperless going forward. What we love suggesting is a desktop scanner. So whether you work for a big company or you own your own small business, a desktop portable scanner is going to be invaluable for you. The same way you need a laptop or a computer, you need to have a scanner, because that's what's going to enable you to have everything with you at all times. You know, for me, I take a lot of notes on paper just because I like that physical touch. But then once I take the notes, they all get scanned in. I can pull them up on my computer, and I have 5 different devices I sync. So if I'm traveling, it doesn't really matter which device I have. I always have access to all of my information, and I'm not tied to a physical location or an office. And we have a lot of clients like that. You know, we had one that called us last summer, and she owned a small business, had 3 employees, but she wanted to be able to work whether she was in Mexico or in Alaska. She wanted to be able to travel and always have access to what she was doing. So we set her up with some easy to do scanning items. And then if you're going to scan in and have more stuff digital, you need to figure out how are you going to name those digital files so you can find them quickly and easily, and what type of document system and storage system are you using on your computer, and are your files backed up? All of those things we have to take into consideration.
What was your one of your most challenging cases?
You know, we actually worked with a financial advisor that he actually had almost an emotional attachment to his business cards. And when we walked in, you can imagine and picture it in your mind, but there are paper on every surface. And instead of organizing the paper, he actually had brought in a second tabletop and a second desk area so that he just had more horizontal surface that he could place things on. So what we did with him is we had to actually go a little bit slower because the decision-making process was more painful for him because he had an attachment. For him, he remembered exactly who handed him which business card and at what event he was at. And so he was holding all of that in his mind. And what we ended up doing is we ended up helping him build a CRM system so that he could
explain what that is for. Yeah,
a CRM system is a customer relationship management system where you can actually scan in, put those business cards into the tool, and then have any other notes that you need. So we could type up in certain fields notes about where he met the person, what event he was at. Maybe he remembered something about their dog, or he remembered something about, you know, their business that they had mentioned. And so we helped get a lot of that stuff that he was holding onto in his head, but it was being triggered by the physical business card item. You know, when he saw it, he would remember things. So we actually had to do a lot of interviewing with him. It took a little bit longer to get over that attachment, but it was so successful and satisfying in the end.
My guest today is giving us great tips about staying organized. It's Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized. If you have questions for my guest, give us a call at 866-712-1300.
And now we return to Minding Your Business with Robin Block on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Once again, here's Robin.
We've been speaking with Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized, and we're going to continue our discussion about, gosh, how can you get organized? Do you ever go back to the places that you have helped to be organized?
Every once in a while, we do go back to them, especially because we have a lot of clients where we work with them on one project. And we may take a little bit of a break, see how they do, and then we'll go back and work on a second project. So we go back into the spaces pretty often.
And what do they look like?
Most of the time, if we've done our job right, they've been able to keep up the system and been able to, you know, keep going with whether we organize their paper files, that'll keep going, and then we'll go back and work on the digital. Or maybe we set up their assistant's desk, but we haven't yet gotten to theirs. And so most of the time, if we set it up right and it's low maintenance and organized, it's able to work for the long term.
So in a way, that is our organizational nirvana.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like every woman's magazine has at least one article a month about getting organized. Why do you think that is?
I think every magazine has an article about it, whether it's called organizing or whether it's called time management. You know, it's something that's common because it affects all of us, and it's not industry specific. It's not like lawyers are disorganized and people in the medical field aren't, because it really has to fit everybody. And so I think it's something that everybody struggles with. And to be honest, what we've noticed in the past 5 years even is that you are receiving more stuff, more information faster.
Information overload.
Right.
That's the music I should have played at the beginning.
Yes. So, you know, what's happening is so much stuff is coming at people so quickly now that it's so hard to keep up, and that it's a perpetual thing. Everybody wants to know how to get organized.
And not everybody is that systematic in their approach to their life and their work. So the steps to get organized seem to be the same all the time. I mean, at least in the broad category, sort, categorize, purge.
Right.
It sounds simple. Why don't people tackle their stuff on their own?
I think a lot of times we have clients where we could walk in, their desk is clear until we open the drawers, right? I think a lot of times you get so...
The closet disorganized person.
We see that a lot.
I do that when I have guests coming over. It'll be like, okay, throw everything in the bedroom, you know, and then it's...
Yeah,
and then you can't find anything.
Well, I can give you an example. We had a mortgage broker we worked with, walked in his office, desk was clear, office was seemingly very neat and organized. We open up his email inbox, and there's 30,000 emails unsorted. Some had been read, some hadn't. We opened up his desk drawers, and the physical drawers are just full of piles. So he wanted to give the appearance of being very well put together, but then when we started digging, we started uncovering stuff. And what's fascinating is that when we start going through it, a lot of times that happens because he was in the middle of his day, right? Taking a break to get organized is not something that everybody does. And so a lot of times we come in and we're forcing them to take a better look at what's in the drawers. He knew those were disorganized. He knows how to sort, but until somebody was there helping and guiding him and holding him accountable, there were other things that were more priority.
Like making money.
Like making money, exactly. The billable hour, exactly. And then the other thing that we always keep in mind with our clients is that we want to check in with them, hold them accountable to what they're doing. And for a lot of them, it's simply that they don't necessarily know what they don't know. Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. A lot of times we go in and it's like we are a stranger walking into their space and we're going to notice things that they've just been living with and they didn't realize there was a different
way. They had a problem.
Well, they didn't realize there was a better way, right?
It's one thing to have a separate office to let's talk about people who work at home.
Sure.
It's one thing to have a separate office and you can close the door and all that kind of thing. But what about people who work out of their homes where they don't really necessarily have a dedicated space? What would you recommend that they do?
You know, we see it both ways. Some people have a home office with a dedicated space. Some people don't. And if you don't have a dedicated space, a lot of times what we'll do is we can even set it up so it's a mobile workspace. You might have a nook or a closet where you're keeping certain bins that are going to hold your scanner when you're not using it, hold a few files when you're not using it, hold office supplies when you're not using it. But then when you're ready to get work done, you can easily grab them, move over to either the dining table or even the sofa if you need to, and have everything easily accessible that you need to get your work done, and then put it back when you're done. Now, the key is putting it back when you're done. Just like we teach kids in kindergarten, if you
put your toys away.
Exactly. Put your toys away when you're done. You need to put your office away when you're done, so that way it doesn't start taking over your home. We go into way too many entrepreneurs' homes or small business owners' homes where they have spilled out of a home office, and it's starting to affect things in their bedrooms. They'll put pieces of work on their nightstand. It'll be covering their dining table, covering their sofa. And so we want to keep it confined to one space and put some boundaries around it.
You do a lot more than help people clean up their paper clutter. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the business process improvements that you help people make.
We actually go through and interview people in different companies. We write their operations manuals. And we don't necessarily just go and document what they're doing today so that it's written down. But we also take a look at how are they operating today? What are their frustrations with it? And how can we improve upon it? So yesterday, for example, we just delivered a whole gap analysis report to a client where we had interviewed 8 people on their executive team to find out how they're operating, what's working, what's not working. And then we make suggestions for improvement and identify those gaps. And we also document it. So we love process flow diagrams. We'll document everything out. It helps when you're training new people on a team. It helps to have that because we're, again, coming in with a different viewpoint. We've been across the industry, so we know what the best practices are, and we can help you implement those into your business.
So I want to talk a little bit about your business in particular. There are lots of organizers out there. What made you think we needed another one?
And there are lots of organizers out there. We talked about the National Association of Professional Organizers earlier, and even in Seattle, we have 35 members. So we're not the only organizing firm in the area. We are one of the unique ones that we focus on digital clutter. We focus on custom solutions for our clients because there's lots of different techniques out there, but I truly don't think there's a one-size-fits-all when it comes to organizing. You really have to customize it for each client. We take a look at their personality, we take a look at their family members, we take a look at who else they're working with, and we want to make sure that we're streamlining it, not just for them, but so that their assistant or their boss can also find what they're looking for and easily help them be organized.
Those are all great tips, but it looks like we're out of time. You've been listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'd like to thank my guest, Elizabeth Bowman of Innovatively Organized. That's innovativelyorganized.com. Our opening sound clip was from the movie trailer, In Time. For an archive of today's program, links to our guests' websites, or to sponsor this show, check out mybmedia.com. We would love to get your feedback also on Facebook and Twitter at mybmedia. From Money Radio KKOL 1300 in Seattle, this has been Minding Your Business, reality radio for entrepreneurs. I'm your host and producer, Robin Block. Be sure to tune in next week when we bring in some really exciting guests. Follow us on Facebook and you can check out our schedule of who's coming up. The show has been sponsored in part by the socialrainmakingsummit.com, and we'll be back next week.
Listening to Minding Your Business with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. To contact Robin, you can email Robin with two B's at blockbeta.com. That's Robin at blockbeta.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.